talk about John the Baptist baptizing there at the Jordan River. He baptizes Jesus. So many questions. And the most beautiful thing for me is I now read this reading and I was at the Jordan River. Like, that was amazing. As you know, I've been away. I abandoned you, as Father Brian puts it, for 2 weeks for a trip to the Holy Land with the seminary. It was a twice postponed trip I was supposed to go on as a deacon. And it was so amazing. So many stories. Just a few this time. I got to go to the Jordan River. I was there where we believe John baptized Jesus. And man, it was amazing. But it was a little anticlimactic. Because I got there, and man, the water is messy. Like, I almost didn't even want to, like, cross the sign myself with the sign of the cross with the water. I was like, this is pretty nasty water. And now I understand why in the Old Testament, Naaman, who's like, comes over from another country and is told by a prophet or whatever to go and wash himself there. He says something like, why did I come all the way out of this country to wash myself in this messy, dirty water? Like, it's very dirty. So I did not get in. And also our guide told us, if you get into the water, do not cross to the other side. Because this is not the United States of America, where you can just go anywhere and generally not get shot at. Apparently, it's just not a healthy political climate, different states, weird rules. You can't just cross over into other areas, and the Jordan River is a border. Apparently, the guide said one person felt called by the Holy Spirit to swim across the river, just like people of old in the Bible crossed the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And they had to fire some warning shots, saying, like, this is illegal, you can't come over into our area. Very disconcerting. But it was so great. I got to go to the Jordan River, saw it. Now when I read the scriptures, I'm like, wow, Jordan River. But at the same time, I also think of how much there's a need for peace. You know, the Holy Land, it's amazing, but there's such unrest there. And if anything, I left with a great deeper understanding of the Gospels and also a deeper understanding of the need for us to embrace the gospel, each one of us. And John the Baptist was trying to bring people to the point where they would understand how God was going to make this happen, how he was going to bring peace to the world. Because you see, John just didn't make up this whole baptizing thing. The idea of water cleansing us goes all the way back to the Old Testament rules, laws, like Leviticus talks about the need to wash yourself, to wash certain vessels, to become outwardly, ritually clean. God started teaching people right at the beginning, I'm going to use water to cleanse you in some way. Then the prophets afterwards start talking about how the cleansing God wanted to do was not just a sprinkling on our outer body, but our inner hearts and our spirits to cleanse and renew us. And then John the Baptist brings these two together so beautifully. And he, we believe, was from the community, not the Pharisees or Sadducees, but another Jewish community called the Essenes. And I also got to go to their little place, Qumran, the Qumran scrolls. I got to see the caves where they found the writings that the Essenes had preserved, the scriptures. And they have, in their community, a lot of areas where they can wash themselves spiritually. Because they were sort of the scrupulous Jews. They wanted to wash themselves every day to become clean. They yearned to be cleansed from their sins, and they couldn't find out like how to make that happen. John the Baptist prepares the way. He says, come, you're going to be washed in this water. But we know he also preached repentance and penance. He was drawing that inner spiritual conversion with the outer water washing together so that when our Lord came and gave us the sacrament of baptism, which actually has a physical washing that brings about a true radical spiritual renewal, we'd be ready. And that, as crazy as it seems, is how God wants to bring peace to this world. You know, our lives, our families, this community, country, even somehow reaching the Holy Land and the whole world. He knows that peace in the world will only come if we have peace in each of our hearts. And so think about your own baptism today. When you come to receive communion too, also, when I'm going to say the words that John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And you respond in a way that prepares your heart for a renewal of those baptismal promises. You say like, oh dang, I knew I was going to forget right in the last minute. Lord, I'm not worthy. You should enter under my roof, but only say the word. My soul shall be healed. Like, we're telling the Lord, I know I'm not worthy. I know I need that inner spiritual cleansing. Your help, Lord. Think about that. Like, don't let that become just a routine phrase you say. Know that the Lord, by your baptism, brings peace to your heart, at least the potential for peace, as long as you really embrace the life with Christ, overcoming sin, trying to grow in virtue, coming to the sacraments with that faith that when I receive communion, I can actually grow holier today if I once again bring the Lord my struggles, ask forgiveness, and try again. If we want to help our brothers and sisters in our homes all the way over to the Holy Land and the mess they're dealing with, ask the Lord to once again help more peace come into your own life. Bring those struggles to communion. Say those words after I speak the words of John the Baptist, asking the Lord to truly prepare your heart. And he will. And somehow we will truly grow more peaceful in our hearts and bring that peace to the world.